Sophie Papp and her family had a ritual for the recently departed. Whenever a relative died, she and her brother and cousins would all squeeze into a car and drive to Kwoxilla River, an hour north of their homes in Victoria, British Columbia. There, they would spend the day swimming in the glassy jade water, letting the current drag them along the squishy riverbed and gazing at the native arbutus trees, whose red bark peeled like crinkly snakeskin in the summer months. On September 1, 2014, shortly after her grandmother passed away, Sophie, a sweet, reserved girl with gray-blue eyes and freckles, joined her younger brother, Alex, her cousin Emily, and a close friend. They packed themselves into a navy blue Volkswagen Golf and headed up island to the banks of the long, twisty river. On the way, the group made a quick stop at a Tim Hortons for coffee and breakfast before pulling back onto One North. That's the last memory Sophie, who was 19 years old at the time, has of that day. It would also be the last memory she would form for the entire next week of her life. Over the years, she's cobbled together the facts from those who were with her in the VW that morning to create an account of what happened next. About 45 minutes after the stop, Emily, who was driving, spilled her iced coffee. It started dripping onto her seat, her clothes, even trickling into her shoes. And as she scrambled to clean it, she let her attention slip from the highway. The car drifted to the right, eventually veering into the gravel shoulder. The sound of the tires rumbling over the carpet of rock fragments made Emily finally look up. And when she saw how far the car had slipped off the road, she panicked, yanking the steering wheel to the left. The wheels struggled to gain traction on the gravel, though, and at a speed of around 70 miles per hour, she lost control. The sedan skidded across multiple lanes in both directions, before somersaulting into a ravine on the opposite side of the road. The force of the impact knocked Sophie and Emily unconscious. Hoisting themselves from their seats, Alex and Sophie's friends were able to push the doors open and escape the mangled Golf. After around 15 minutes, Emily regained consciousness, but Sophie remained unresponsive. When first responders arrived at the scene, they used the jaws of life to pull her out of the back seat. She was immediately transferred to a helicopter and medevaced to Victoria General Hospital. Sophie was rushed into the hospital's trauma center, designated for treating the facility's most severe life-or-death injuries. The large, high-ceilinged room was filled with beds, ventilators, and defibrillators. Snake-like surgical lights swooped overhead and bathed the metallic tables and color-coded medical cabinets in bright fluorescent light. Within an hour, Sophie's parents arrived. After rushing through the automatic front doors and heading for the trauma center, they were met in the hallway by a grave-faced cluster of doctors, nurses, and paramedics attending to their daughter. During the accident, Sophie had suffered a traumatic brain injury. At the crash site, EMTs gave her a score of 6 on the Glasgow Coma Scale, indicating profound trauma. She had also fallen into a coma. Standing in the trauma center, her parents, who were both doctors, canvassed their daughter frantically for any signs of encouragement. Instead, they observed how her body had assumed an unusually stiff posture, arms ramrod straight against her sides, hands tightly clenched, toes flexed upward, with minimal response to stimuli. They both knew this condition, called decerebrate posturing, was a frightening sign, one that often suggested severe and potentially fatal brain damage. Neither, however, acknowledged their observation to the other. Instead, they sat on either side of Sophie's hospital bed, stroking her curly brown hair and gently gliding their fingers over her arms. "Sophie, Mom and Dad are here," they whispered, unsure whether their reassurances were getting through.